Hello and welcome to Freudian Quips, a WPRK 91.5 FM radio show dedicated to promoting mental health awareness through the examination of popular culture and global current events. I'm your host, Dr. Samuel Sanabria.
And I'm Dr. Palladino.
And today we have our third and close to final episode on the dark side of relationships. And we're going to talk about cheating, infidelity.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy about... Well, no, no, wait. So I'm not excited that we're about cheating in general, but...
Okay, because I don't know. You could have fooled me.
I feel like you know me enough. I feel like you know me that I wouldn't be into that, but I am excited that we are talking about it today because I feel like it's a very interesting topic that affects many people.
Absolutely. And it's a very important topic. It's in the news a lot because of the recent controversy over the internet hack over Ashley Madison.
Oh,
have you heard about that?
I have. I love that movie. It's Adam Sandler.
Yes. No. That you're thinking of Billy Madison. Oh. This is his sister, Ashley Madison.
She's famous too.
She is famous too. Yeah. So it's just a website where people can log on and if they're interested in having extramarital affairs with somebody else, they can do that on this website. So it's Ashley Madison, not Billy Madison.
Okay.
We're gonna learn a little bit more about that in just a minute. Yes.
I'm going to just believe you.
Okay.
You know? Okay.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so we're going to talk about infidelity, cheating. Let's talk a little bit about why people cheat, what to do if you suspect infidelity in your relationship, and how to survive it.
So what to do if you're on either end of it.
Absolutely.
Basically.
We're gonna say a little bit about that. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I like it.
But before we begin, Derek, how was your week? Let's check in with each other. How was it?
Well, I mentioned on the last show that I had a birthday. And
yes.
Then my wife had her birthday.
Wow. So close together.
Yeah.
That's
yesterday.
Nice. Yeah.
Monday, the 24th was her birthday. I keep saying the date like yesterday.
Right.
Knowing that this isn't going up until later on. Anyway.
Right, a week later.
Digressing here.
Right.
Her birthday yesterday. And for part of her birthday, we went to a massage spa place. As you recall, I had my deep tissue.
Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And we did a facial and a pedicure.
A what?
We did a facial.
Okay. Listen. Okay, first of all, I knew this because you sent me a picture, okay? But I have to share with you and with our listeners, and I'm a little bit upset over this, that you got yourself a pedicure, a facial, a body rub without me. And you remember, we had a pact, you, me, and our guest at that time. This was our second episode where we talked about what masculinity is. And we talked about how we all agreed that we were going to go together and get this. But you went without us.
I feel bad about it.
You should.
I feel bad about it. I don't know what to feel about it, but so.
You cheated on us.
I did cheat
you.
On
totally
you.
Cheated on us.
It was my wife's birthday.
Goodness.
And
and you cheated on us with your wife nonetheless. Oh my gosh. That is the ultimate betrayal right there.
I know. I'm so bad.
You are so bad. Okay.
But
well.
The pedicure is great.
Yes.
And I went with a nice gray color for my nails.
Because
figured, if I'm spending all this money on a pedicure, I might as well go all the way and get a color instead of just a clear coat on it.
Right,
so
yes.
I'm
but
sure
you picked gray. Why picked, gray?
We're working on a barn door, a sliding barn door for our bedroom.
Yes.
And it's gray.
Okay.
And I have a darker complexion. I figured it'd be a little nicer. Nicer in the eyes for people who want to gaze at my feet. Now.
Yeah. I would think a dark brown would be nicer. You know, I don't know. But that's you. If you wanted to pick a gray, you know, I wouldn't have picked that color for you. But I wasn't asked. So, you know, but it's okay.
How about this? We will go, the three of us.
Yes.
Manicures.
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay.
All right. But don't cheat on us
again.
Be because better. I haven't even told Greg this yet.
Oh, well.
Okay. Wait until he finds out.
Do we have to?
No. We don't have to.
Ooh.
Yeah. But anyways, okay so that's a little foreshadowing into what we're going to talk about in a little bit.
So let's stop degrading me and putting me down for wanting to love myself.
Aww.
And
I like that
make
about
myself
you.
Better.
Yes.
And talk about your week, Sam.
Well, it was a not uneventful week, but I must say that Lucia started first grade yesterday, and I'm so excited for her. She was a trooper. Dropped her off at school. She told me that she had this, not to worry about her. She was so excited. She came home from school yesterday and was on cloud nine. She loves her teacher. She loves her friends. She's so excited about this year. And you know, her being excited means I'm excited.
And now you get all this free time. she's in school. Oh, you can party. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, during the day. Oh, okay. Right. No, but I do have a job.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. Yeah, yeah.
Don't you teach at night?
Yeah, but there's a lot of preparing for the job. Yeah, for teaching at night.
So you care about your job.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's fun. That's a very exciting transition and developments for Lucia.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for her. So, okay. Anyways, let's go ahead and talk about our topic for the day on infidelity and start with this Ashley Madison controversy that's going on. We're hearing a lot about this website that people can go on to cheat on their spouses anonymously.
37 million people.
37 million people.
Yeah.
Have used this services, okay? But before we go into that, okay, I understand that you have a quiz for me.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so go ahead.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about cheating. Not cheating. Not. I really need to think about I talk on the air for this one.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking a lot about cheating and sort of what we want to talk about, but I thought, let's talk about what cheating isn't. Because a lot of people have these myths and sort of thoughts about, you know, I think you're cheating because this is sort of a general thing that happens to all people, which may not be the case. Right, so I created this little quiz that I found online.
Okay, go ahead.
And
I'm ready for this. I'm
walk you through it.
Yes. So, so what are the questions?
Is it true or false?
Okay.
Most people who cheat are looking for an affair when it happens.
True.
That is false.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So most people who cheat are not looking for an affair when it happens.
That's correct.
Okay. Wow.
Yep.
All right.
Let's move on because we're going to get to talking about some of these things as we move on.
All right. Go ahead. I am not going to have a response after each one because go ahead.
Most people drift from their spouses for someone younger or more attractive.
That I know is not true.
You're right. It's very false.
Okay.
Affairs almost always spell the end of a marriage.
I will have to say that is false.
You're correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. This one rhymes. Once a cheater, always a cheater.
You know what? I am so into people being able to better themselves and to recover from their mistakes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that is false.
It is false.
Oh, good.
All right. You believe in the human spirit.
I do. I believe that people can learn from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Rehabilitation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number five. We have 10 to go through. Number five. Affairs happen because something is wrong with the marriage.
True.
That is false as well.
Ooh, yes. Okay.
It could be things outside, something personal maybe. You know.
Okay. All right.
Number six. Affairs are all about sex.
I'm going to say true.
And that is false as well. You catching on here?
I think there's a trend
there
here.
Might be a
yes.
Trend, yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
If there is no sex, there is no affair.
Well, that is just a matter of opinion, but I'll say, false.
You're right. Just keep saying false.
Okay.
As we move on.
And then I will get 100% on this. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
My quiz that I created by finding on the internet.
Perfect.
Okay. Most people who have affairs are unhappy in their marriage.
False.
That is true.
Okay.
And once an affair is out in the open, even if a couple stays together, they can never be happy together again.
And the answer to that is false.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
Cheating really is never about sex. It's about other marital issues.
Guess what I'm going to say?
What?
Guess.
False?
False! That's right!
You are fantastic.
Woo! I learn. I'm a quick learn. All right.
You're great. So what do we learn there?
Well, you know, there's a lot of assumptions being made about people who cheat and, you know, that there's something wrong with the marriage or the relationship or there's something wrong with the person.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily true. It's not always true in every case.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's go ahead and because I want to get to this. I want to get to this. I want to talk about this website, Ashley Madison, because to be perfectly honest, I've never heard of this website until the hackers and made news about these hackers going in and downloading the database off of this website. And apparently, as you mentioned earlier, 37 million people.
That's a lot of people cheating.
37.
Not cheating, but a lot of people signing up to cheat.
Exactly. Yeah. Who at least have an account with mm-hmm. Ashley Madison. Well, first of all, who knew that there was a website for this?
Oh, a lot of people knew.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, and another thing too, I learned recently is that this is not just for non-gay couples, but gay couples as well mm-hmm. have used this. Okay.
That's right.
So anyways, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that existed, but apparently it was hacked. Can you share a little bit more about what happened?
And I'm going to preface this by saying I do not know a lot about technology.
Yeah, neither do I.
I had a Walkman very long until it, way past I should have a Walkman or a Discman.
Okay.
But what I know about it, what I think I know about it, is these hackers were able to infiltrate the site, gather all of this information, which included names, credit card number, socials, all that sort of stuff, and told Ashley Madison, if you do not remove your website... And listeners, correct me if I'm wrong on this, please. If you not remove your website, then we are going to release all this information.
Okay.
They did not remove their website.
See, I thought that these hackers wanted to extort money from people. So that was not...
It was like a moral thing.
Really?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So so Ashley Madison, the owners of Ashley Madison did not remove the website.
No.
And as a result?
The hackers put it on the deep, deep web, which from what I understand is a place... That's very difficult to get to for many people and mm-hmm. need to download a specific browser and do some hunting and stuff. They may have made it easier now where you can find the list of people, but there's some famous people or famous people. I'm quotation. I'm doing air quotes.
You're
on the
doing
radio.
Air quotes now. Our listeners can't see that, but I can see it. But, that's kind of annoying. there were actually some names have been released. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's on the web. Right now. So people can access this. 37 million people's names are on this web.
In a way, you can access them. I don't know if everyone knows how to get there, but you can get there. The most famous person
is who?
Of course, Snooki's husband.
Well, what's his name?
I think it's just Snooki's husband.
Oh, that's his name. Yeah. Snooki's husband. Okay. And, so he was, oh my gosh, he had an account?
He had an account.
Ashley?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which doesn't mean that. He cheated. He just has an account.
He just has an account.
But
right,
still,
of course.
Here I'm talking about with my opinion, though, but still with that movement towards creating an account.
Well, it says that there was an intent, at least mm-hmm. an intent, whether he actually had an affair with somebody, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It could be an intent of curiosity, too, but it's still an intent.
Wow.
Regardless.
Okay, so I'm sure she's not happy about that. Ugh. Poor Snooki.
I know. Oh. I know.
Who else was on this website?
If you remember the Casey Anthony case, which I'm sure everyone in Orlando does.
Our
in the
very
Orlando,
own. Yes, absolutely.
Jeff Ashton, who was a prosecutor in that case, now state attorney, was also on the list. And he came out and he did a press conference and talked about how he was just curious and it's really affecting his marriage and what all this stuff goes along with it. So he came out and he said it. I mean, he's not a big celebrity, but...
We live here in Orlando, Central Florida, mm-hmm. so we are very familiar with who he is.
And I imagine as time goes on, we'll start learning more names.
Can I share this third
you
name?
Have another that one?
Came, I well, actually, there's a few other mm-hmm. names, but I am very interested in sharing the third person. Mm-hmm. And this is the family values activist mm-hmm. from that reality TV show, I forget the name of it.
So, 143 and counting?
140,000 something and counting. Okay. Yes, okay. Josh Duggar.
Oh, him.
Or Duggar. I don't know how you pronounce his
name.
It's Duggar. It's Duggar, Duggar, I don't know. But, you know, a few weeks ago, he got into trouble when it was released that he had sexually molested his sisters and some other young...
I remember.
Allegedly, we're talking about... And now... It has come out that he had an account with Ashley Madison, in which, by the way, he used somebody else's picture for his profile picture. Absolutely.
But then how did they catch him? Did he use his own email?
He used his own email and he used his own credit card.
Oh.
So that was confirmed mm-hmm. that it was his name, the credit card. I think the billing address was the same as his. Actually, he had two accounts. For two different houses. And he used somebody else's picture.
Well, here's the thing. If I was to create... a profile here.
Yes.
And I would never mm-hmm. do that. But if I was to create a profile,
right.
P.O. box for my mailing address.
Okay.
Different email address.
Yes.
Credit card with just my initials. I mean,
can you do that?
I'm sure I can do D something. You
DP?
Know? Yeah. But there has to be ways that you can go about this without getting
And given that he is a celebrity, yeah, and he's well known, and he is under the radar for being this anti-gay, pro-family, mm-hmm, yeah, I'm using air quotes, yeah, pro-families, not pro-family, but he was a huge advocate against marriage equality. Mm-hmm. And this is why I wanted to share this, because lo and behold, here he is. Not only, yeah, was he caught sexually molesting young women, but now he is listed as one of the people who used Ashley, mm-hmm, Madison.
They also found a lot of .govs.
Oh, yes.
Too, yeah.
Yes. Well, okay. So first of all, were you giving tips to our listeners on how to go on Ashley Madison and create an account?
I feel like this is kind of my thing now.
Who doesn't know anything about cheating, you really know a lot about it.
Here's the thing. Being a therapist, you, yeah, have to know both sides of everything, right? To understand. Not that I've been on both sides, but I think it's important to look at the other side of the coin, maybe.
I'm going with that.
I think we're going to have like Dr. Palladino bad advice column each week of how to do the thing we're telling you not to do.
Yeah, well, I'm here to call you out. So that's okay. You keep doing what you do. I'll keep doing what I do. That's we do best. Absolutely. But anyways, yeah, there are other very well-known individuals who have not been named yet, but apparently, mm-hmm, there are senior executives from Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah, Coca-Cola. I heard that.
NFL players or, mm-hmm, big names in NFL, some celebrities. I mean, this is big. And you know what's really sad about this? What? Is, you know, yeah, these celebrities, they're you know, whatever they do, they're going to be on the news, you know, because as a society, we're interested in, mm-hmm, the lives of these celebrities and so forth. But we have 37 million people that have used this site, and 37 million people who are not celebrities, just,
yeah,
families, mm-hmm, you know. And, you know, and now this information is out in the dark or the deep side of the
deep web.
People,
yeah,
if they know how to, they can go ahead and access this and find out if their partner cheated on them. And already on the news, there's been two cases.
I heard.
Did you hear this? This,
yep,
is horrible,
yep,
horrible.
Texas.
Both of them were in Texas.
I believe so.
Wow, this is horrible. But two men who had accounts on Ashley Madison committed suicide, mm-hmm, because they knew that now their affairs were out,
yeah,
in the open.
It sounds like they believed at this point that their life was over.
Yeah, and that is,
yeah,
I feel bad for them, and I feel bad for all the other people.
Mm-hmm. And their families, too.
And their families, because, yeah, this is not, nobody wants this.
No.
Nobody wants this. And, you know, yes, we listen to these celebrities who get caught, and we're like, hey, and we forget about how many lives have been affected by, mm-hmm, this. Okay.
There's going to be a lot of aftershock in any, yeah, type of infidelity.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I these hackers who said on moral grounds, please, or threatened, mm-hmm, Ashley Madison, says, you need to take this down or we're going to release it. I mean, they had no business releasing all of this information. And they're ruining the lives of so many people, or they're helping to ruin, yeah, the lives of so many
jerks
families. Absolutely.
Can I call them jerks?
Yeah. But you know what? Hey, I'm telling our listeners now, don't access the database. Okay. That's one way that we can help combat.
That's so brave of you.
This silliness. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. So, all right, let's share a little bit of.
So before I do want to share some research and stuff, but there is another thing I want to talk about. The show Cheaters.
Oh, yes.
Have you heard of the show Cheaters?
I have heard of it.
Oh, it's glorious. I would spend most of my days watching Cheaters and grading papers or preparing my lectures and stuff. I used to live in Dallas.
Okay.
I lived there for 2 years.
I lived there for 1 year.
You did?
Actually in Plano, Texas.
Oh, that's close enough.
Yeah, close enough. Go ahead.
I lived in South Dallas and then Dallas. So I would watch the show because it was filmed in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the Cheater Show building is actually on Lover's Lane, which I think is kind of a fun,
how
fun name.
How funny. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Yes, on Lover's Lane.
So me and my friends and my girlfriend at the time would just always really want them to get somebody.
Was this the girlfriend that cheated on you?
No.
Okay.
We wanted someone to get caught while we were out at a bar, restaurant, or at the gym. Because every episode I watched, I'm like, oh, I know that place. Oh, I know,
yeah,
that place.
Yeah.
Oh, I work out there. I know that place. And it never happened.
It never happened.
And it was the saddest thing when I left Dallas and I never got to see it in person. I feel like I need to move back just for that. Like, quit my job here, find someone's couch to sleep on until that happens, and then regain my life, resume my life.
But, you know, you may not be missing a lot, because I heard that a lot of those episodes were staged.
They are.
They're not real.
Yeah. So one thing interesting about the show I wanted to bring up is that, say, you and I are in a relationship, Sam, and you cheat on me.
Yes.
Because you're just a jerk. And I surveil you, and I found all this information.
Wait. Not necessarily a jerk. Well, I mean, I could be a really nice guy that just made a mistake.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Okay.
So I have you surveilled. Mm-hmm. I approach you and confront you, and you're with whoever that you're cheating on me with. Yes.
Brad Pitt.
Okay. Yes. On the show, I get mad at Brad Pitt. I don't get mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I yell at Brad Pitt, and I try to start a fight with Brad Pitt.
Yes.
And I do nothing to you.
I know. I always found that, we talked about this in the last episode.
Yeah.
We did a little bit. Why do people get upset with the person who cheated with their spouse, as opposed to being angry at the spouse? I would be angry at you if you cheated on me. I couldn't care less about who this person, this other person was. That person owes me nothing. I owe that person nothing. That person doesn't know me. I don't know that, unless if it was a friend.
And Brad Pitt may not have known that you were in a relationship.
Exactly.
Right?
Brad Pitt, you could have lied to Brad Pitt about this. You know who I would be upset with?
Me.
With
you. No, wait. We're turning this around.
Oh, I know.
I'm good, Sam.
I'm a therapist. Oh. I can turn it around on you.
Okay. So, yes.
But absolutely, yeah. So it's, I understand. We talked about this briefly.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why this happens, and we want to find calmness in a crisis. And the best way to find calmness in a crisis is to put anger or emotion towards something that you're not connected to.
Mm, and that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So this person who you don't know, who doesn't know you, it's easier to be angry at that person because there is no emotional connection.
Right.
As opposed to being angry at your partner for cheating on you.
Yeah. And it becomes a crisis because something that we've had and connected with and shared in a relationship is no longer that thing. So that messes with my world and my schema of who we are and everything. So I can't get mad at you just yet because this whole thing is blowing up. I'm getting mad at the other person.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. It's just a level of emotional detachment.
Yep.
Okay. And in dealing with this issue. But you know what? I can see that being at the moment and then later, once it hits you and it sinks in, where you would be angry at your partner.
Oh, totally. I think you get back to that.
Yeah. So I think at the moment, you just are in shock and you go for the easiest emotion to have.
Yeah. But I think if you cheated with Brad Pitt on me, I would just get his autograph. Yeah, why not? Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he could be a nice guy. I don't know. You wouldn't want to mess with Angelina Jolie.
No, I wouldn't. Okay.
All right, so let's share a little bit about some research and information about infidelity that we know.
So, in 1973, the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago asked people what they think about extramarital sex. The share of people who think it's always wrong has gone up by 10 percentage points to 81% from 71% in 2002, which is telling us that in the 70s, 30% of people thought it was okay to cheat. And now still 20% of people think it's okay to cheat.
Yeah. Okay. So what you're saying is that since 1973, the amount of people who view cheating as always wrong increased 10% to 81%.
40 years. Yeah.
Wow. In 40 years, it's just gone up. Well, you know, what's interesting is in the 70s, how 30% of the people felt that there may be some, is that one to assume that there may be some justification for cheating?
So this is what I'm thinking. I'm not certain I'm correct on this, and I may be wrong, and I'm usually wrong, but.
I'm so glad you can admit that. Right? Yes.
So I think the time has moved on, people are getting married at an older age, later time in their life, and they're sort of understanding who they are in terms of maturity, development. And I think along with that, you create morals. You build your morals and your convictions and everything. And so as you're getting married later, it's not necessarily finding the one person for you. It's like you know who you are and what you stand for. So at that point, you either I maybe feel like I could be a person who cheats or I'm a person who never wants that to be a part of my life.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I think that in the 70s, before Facebook and all the social media, it was a very private affair. If somebody had an affair.
Yeah.
You know, your neighbors didn't know about it and your friends didn't know about it, your coworkers. This is something that you can keep between you and your family and you and your partner. But now it's out there. It's so easy to expose your cheating partner. Mm-hmm. And as a society, we're becoming more and more aware that this happens.
Yeah. And next thing you know, you're on Brad Pitt's Facebook page. Yeah. And I'm watching it because I'm a fan of his Facebook page because he's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm also checking up on what you're doing.
Absolutely.
So now it's embarrassing to me. I feel horrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, wow. Okay. So anyways, but what's interesting is that there's still that 20% who believe that there may be some justification for cheating. And I would love to hear their reasoning behind that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at another study. Well, this pretty much goes along the lines with the one that you shared, but did you know that in the United States, 10% of children being raised right now by their parents, by their fathers, are actually not their biological child?
Okay? I did not know that.
Yeah. So apparently there's 10% of families out there where the father... Where the children believe that their father is their father and is actually not their father as a result of an affair. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Am I making any sense whatsoever?
I have, as you're talking, I have the whole Star Wars scene playing in my head.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. But was that an affair?
No. I mean, I don't know.
No, it was not an affair.
In my mind, I created the whole image and video of it actually being an affair.
Yeah.
And that there's Luke's other father was cheating, or, you know, all that stuff. So.
But you know what's interesting about this? I wonder if the fathers know that they're raising somebody else's child.
Unless you go on more, you might not know.
You might not know. Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Okay. That's very interesting. All right. So any others? Let's see. Well, this one is about gender differences. This is a very interesting study that was done where these researchers asked men and women in committed monogamous relationships how likely they would cheat on their significant others. Mm-hmm. Men reported being more likely to cheat on their female partners than females were likely to cheat on their male partners. Mm-hmm. So males were more like, they said that they would be more likely to cheat. They said, right?
Okay.
But what's very interesting about the study is that when introduced or given an opportunity to cheat, both men and women were equal.
Really?
In taking that opportunity. Okay, so men would say that they would cheat more than women would, but when it came to actually doing it, there was no difference
between the genders. So the men hit the higher standard of who says they're going to do it, and then when it actually occurred, the women went up to that.
Absolutely.
Level. Wow.
Absolutely. So what women say and what they do are not necessarily the same thing, which I think is very interesting, according to this study, of course.
And as we know, just because you have one study that says something, there could be another study that says the exact opposite.
Oh, absolutely.
Of
yes.
Too,
right. We have to take all of this with a grain of salt.
So men with high self-esteem were found to cheat more. And we think of that's true because they feel more entitled for themselves.
Well, they feel that they deserve this, right? They, you know, I'm a good looking guy. I'm smart. I make a lot of money.
I feel like I feel like we're hitting those gender stereotypes.
Well, we are.
But I mean,
absolutely.
The research kind of is biased towards that way, I think, too.
Yeah.
So also, we know that wealth and having money has a lot to do with cheating, and that wealth magnifies the effect of cheating both in men and women.
Yes. So that's very interesting because the study showed that women who earned more than their partners, male partners, were more likely to cheat than women who earned less. And that men who earned less than their female partners were more likely to cheat. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting.
But yet, they're more likely to cheat anyways if they earn more money. So men, is this study saying that just all men are more likely to cheat?
Well, it says here, more money, more problems.
More money, more problems. I guess so.
From the
Good. Okay. So more money, more money, more problems. Yeah. All right.
And also we know that some studies indicate that anywhere between 30 and 60% of all married couples will experience infidelity in the relationship.
Yeah, that's, you know, what's interesting is that how wide that range is, 30 to 60%. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but a lot of that has to do with people having different definitions of what cheating is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, so you may ask one person, do you consider this to be cheating? And another person says, yes. So it's really hard to pinpoint exactly how often it does occur in relationships. Okay, but interesting. But that's still significant, even if it was 30%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But 30 to 60%, somewhere in the middle. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, of all divorce decrees handed out each year in the United States, more than half have some type of infidelity as a contributing factor.
That does not surprise
me. That's a lot.
That does not. So it's a significant reason why people seek divorce is because of infidelity.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is this other study that shows that not all relationships end as a result of someone cheating.
That's true.
Okay. So in fact, 1/3 of marriages, 33% of marriages, we can say.
0.333. With a 9 over the top of the 3.
Actually survive that experience, which is good news because it doesn't always have to spell the end of a relationship. People can recover from it.
I do wonder what percentage of that 1/3 is surviving but not happy.
Like there's always going to be that distrust in the relationship.
Like, yeah, because there are many reasons to stay together outside of love in a marriage. And trust in a marriage.
Right, right. People can stay together because they feel more comfort. It's safer. It's
children.
More, children, exactly. So
money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't know how much of that 1/3, that 0.333333.
But Dr. Sanabria promises to get that number to you by next episode. He's going to do some personal research on this.
No, I'm not going to do that. No. Okay. So what about, here's one. Any information about office romances?
Oh.
Because, you know, you used to watch Mad Men, right?
No.
You never saw Mad Men, the TV show?
The magazine?
Mad Men.
Mad Magazine?
No, wait, what is it called, that TV
Mad Men?
Mad Men, that's what I said.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know it, but I've never seen it. I'm just messing with you.
Oh, okay, I'm so sorry. I was about to jump through over the table and hit you because I'm like, what? How could you not know Mad Men?
And then no one would know what happened because it's not a video, it's a radio show.
Exactly. Okay. They would just hear this loud slap. But anyways, so yeah, so office romances, how often does that happen? Is it, it's increasing actually throughout
the years. I've heard people have a work girlfriend or a work boyfriend. And then, okay, we have to say this.
Mm-hmm.
We won't give names, but we have to say this. That Sam and I are in a profession that goes to conferences, right?
Quite often.
Quite often, like twice a year, mostly. And we know...
That's not often, but
I mean,
sometimes
for people
it could
who
be
don't
more than
go to
that.
Conference,
like twice a year. Wow, that's a lot. It's like every month we have to go to a conference. But yes, go ahead.
It feels like a lot sometimes. So at these conferences, we have seen and know of people who have their conference girlfriend or boyfriends.
Yes, yes. We have friends that we know of when we go to these conferences who step out because their spouse is not around. They have a whole weekend or week without their family members, and they just want to go and have a good time.
Yep, stepping out on my baby.
Stepping out on my baby, absolutely. You know, and of course, you know, we know about this. We don't say anything. And, you know,
but if you give us enough money... No, I'm joking.
We will reveal their names. Absolutely.
We'll have our own website.
Yes, we'll be just like those hackers on Ashley Madison.
But I think we're bringing this up to just say that sometimes people, or sometimes these people, need something outside of what they have. Or if there could be something missing in the relationship, something missing in their life, not connected to the relationship, that this extra experience gives to them.
So you're saying that they need this?
Desire this, need this. They can also fall into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's temptation.
Taking,
yeah.
It's taking care of something.
Yeah. I mean, we can listen, we can spend hours talking about this subject because there's different ways of looking at human sexuality and, you know, we as human beings, what we were designed to do. Some people believe that we were meant to be in monogamous relationships, and others believe that no, we are animals. We're animals, basically like animals. We were meant to enjoy sex and to breed as much and as with as many people as possible.
And we should pee on every tree we see.
mark our territories, right? Yeah.
That's a more better way of saying it than I just did. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about, who is more likely to cheat? You've heard about the big five personality traits. Okay. So let me just go over it really quickly.
Jinx, buy me a Coke. We said personality traits.
But let me share a little bit about what the big five personality traits. This is what psychologists in our field have narrowed down all these different characteristics into five categories. So one is extrovert, introvert. The other is agreeableness, whether you're high on the agreeableness scale or low. The third one is conscientiousness, whether you're high on that level or very low, meaning that you're not as conscientious of a person. The fourth one is openness to experiences, ideas. So you can be high on openness, low on that openness scale. And then there's mental health, neuroticism. You're high on the neurotic scale or you're low on the neurotic scale. So there have been studies to see which of these personality traits and which range would be more likely to find themselves in an extramarital affair. So first one, extrovert, introvert.
Yeah.
Extroverts are more likely.
They're sensation seeking. They're assertive. They're driven to satisfy their sexual desires.
Yes. Okay. So the second one is agreeableness. Okay. People with low agreeableness are more likely to cheat because
They go along with it, right?
Yeah, they go along with it, or they're, you know, they're not as likely to think about how this might impact their partner.
They're kind of like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, let's just do it. Well, no. That would be the opposite.
They're agreeable.
No. Then you're saying that the people who are high on agreeableness will be more likely.
Oh, yeah. I do think that's true, though.
Well, not according to the research. The research shows that people who are low on agreeableness are more likely to cheat. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I think... Here, I'm going to go against the research here.
Okay, go do it.
So I think that if I'm agreeable, it might be because I fear of making that other person feel kind of, you know, bad or down or anything like that. And in that case, I am going to just go along with it.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to talk to the researchers about this.
Because, I'm on it.
Conscientiousness, people with less, who are less or lower on that scale are more likely to cheat. That makes a lot of sense because you're not thinking about the partner. Emotional stability, people who are high on the neuroticism scale are more likely to cheat.
Well, that makes sense.
That does make sense. Yeah. So, you know, just going over this, I'm somewhere in the middle. I am too.
I'm more of an introvert.
I'm somewhere between extrovert, introvert.
I'm not fully neurotic, but I have some of those tendencies to be neurotic, but not overly where it becomes actually a big piece of me.
Yeah.
I'm very open, I think.
I forgot about that openness. Yeah. People who are open are more likely to cheat. That's very interesting because they're more open to different experiences.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Wow. Okay. So anyways, that's very interesting. So I have a question for you because this was brought up to me and I just want to get your thoughts on this, but it was brought up to me several years ago and I thought it was a really interesting question. But if you cheat on your partner, should you, and let's say that it was a one-time deal and there's no way that you can possibly ever be caught, should you tell your partner?
Personally, I would have to.
Why?
Because I feel like there's distrust in the relationship. Like I've done something and I know not all couples get together and say, okay, let's not cheat on each other. But if that happens, you're still kind of breaking an unsaid type of, I plan on being monogamous with you, unless you have that conversation that you're not going to be monogamous with that person. I feel like then there's something in between us in the relationship. I would have to tell.
Even if you knew that it would be the end of your relationship,
yeah,
you would still tell.
I would feel like they need to make that decision. If this, like, I can say I did this, I'm sorry, but you kind of have. I mean, they should make the decision of whether or not they should stay with me.
Okay,
based on what I did, which was not supposed to be happening in our relationship.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to play devil's advocate here, but if it's going to hurt the person, be traumatic for the person, ruin the relationship, the end of this marriage, and why say anything if it's a one-time deal and you're never, ever, ever, ever going to get caught?
But you might.
Ah.
You never know if you're not going to get caught.
And if they did find out, then it would be even more reason why to distrust you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because in the news a few years ago, there was an incident that I remember reading or hearing about where it was an elderly couple. They had been married for, I don't know, 50, 60 years. Mm-hmm. And they were in their 80s. And it was revealed that he had an affair way back in the 50s. Something like that.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. One affair. Just one affair.
Mm-hmm. And I bet that cheating date was like 250. Like if you have movies and a hot dog or a drink.
Yeah,
and gas. But
she was upset. Even after decades and decades. That was a one-time deal.
And
they ended up divorcing. They were in their 80s and they divorced.
Man. I don't blame her.
Isn't that terrible?
Take them to the road.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Well, I don't know. I think that honesty is the best policy. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that, but it would be a very difficult decision to make as far as whether to tell the partner. If you knew that it was going to ruin the relationship, it's going to be the end and you're going to hurt that person and hurt the family, if there's children involved and so forth, I don't know. You know, that's up to the person, but I understand that where you're coming from in honesty is the best policy.
It has to
ultimately.
Be. For me, it has to be, at least.
All right, that's a very difficult one.
So let's move on, because I know we're getting short
on
time.
Yes, we are. We're getting close.
But we want to give some advice on what to do if you're cheated on and you still see a future in the relationship and you want things to continue on, right?
If you feel like there's hope for the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, we know that it doesn't always have to mean it's the end of the relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We know that it does not necessarily mean that there's something wrong with the marriage. So there's ways that you can recover from this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So number one, don't get mad at Brad Pitt.
I'm telling you, Derek, don't be mad at Brad Pitt. Okay. It's not his fault. It's my fault. Okay. He can't help looking the way he does. Yeah.
He's an Adonis. Okay.
No, but the first item is to ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, this is a very difficult time for everybody involved. And if your partner reveals that they have cheated, then this is a time for you to get as much information as possible. And it's okay. The more that you know, the better. The more that you know about what happened, the better it is for you, because there's no mystery out there and there's no guessing as to what it is that can actually, that guessing part can actually cause more damage to the person than actually knowing what happened.
And you're deserving of that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. So another thing, balance your rage with your need for information. Okay. Don't be angry and demand the information. And you know, the purpose of getting as much information as possible is so that you can find peace within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can know exactly what you are working with as far as what happened.
Yeah.
Right?
If you have rage behind you, your questions aren't going to give you the answers you want.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're going to be too large, sizable questions.
Okay. Now, here's a good one, because this happens to me a lot. Set a time limit when you talk about the affair with your spouse or your partner. Don't let it drag on. Say, we're going to spend an hour to talk about this. And when that hour is done, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you are, you're done. Because this can linger, and get worse for you emotionally.
You're going to need some time
off from
this conversation. And an hour might be too long for you. So think about emotionally how much you can handle and take from your partner as you talk about this.
Right. And you do need that time to just step back and process what you were just told. Expect curveballs. It's going to happen. Things are going to pop up. Your partner is not going to share everything that happened, and things might be revealed later on.
Mm-hmm.
And expect that. It's going to happen. Okay.
Talk about how the affair has affected you. Using we talked about I language before in some past episodes.
Right.
It's important for you to share what you're feeling inside about this, what you're thinking about your future with the person as you're moving forward too.
Yeah, it's important that person hears from you how his or her actions has personally impacted you.
Yeah,
yeah. That actually can bring people closer together.
It really can.
Yeah.
Next is don't forgive quickly or easily. And what you don't want to do here is if you forgive right away, then the partner is going to think it's kind of over at that point, and you still may have some emotions or thoughts going on in you. So make sure that you're doing this at the right amount of time for you to sort of help process and get as much information as you can.
You don't want to jump the gun because, again, these curveballs could happen. Other feelings might pop up later. Mm-hmm. And then you're going right back to that issue your partner might think, oh, we're done with this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Find support. That's what we say this every week. Huh? Find support.
Always have support.
So important. I can't emphasize this enough, but how important it is to have people that you can trust, family and friends who will be there to listen to you and to support you, be there for you.
Spend time together without talking about the affair. So want to make sure you have the other part of your relationship that is not connected. It may be hard.
Yes.
I don't think it's the easiest thing to do because it's going to be in the back of your head and the back of their head, but try to enjoy each other.
Mm, absolutely. Right. And then the last tip, and I know it's not easy, and we've mentioned this already, but that is, again, take the time. Forgive when you are ready to forgive. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't feel the pressure to forgive your partner before your time. Don't let your partner pressure you into making that decision. Mm-hmm. Okay. It should come naturally for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. You should respect yourself and the relationship enough to give yourself that time.
Beautiful words.
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
Oh, I think I do.
You do?
Yes. Is that Pavlov's dog?
It is. It's our doctor's note segment again, where we answer questions from the listeners. Hey.
Okay, well...
Do we have one?
Absolutely. We have a question from a listener. I'm assuming that this is a student who will remain nameless, but we'll go ahead, based on the content of his question, and go ahead and name him Shy LaBeouf.
Oh, I love him in Transformers.
Yes. Oh, you did? Okay. Shy LaBeouf says that for a long time that he's had a difficult time talking to people like adults, mm-hmm, or even his classmates. And when he is faced with this, he becomes numb and red and he has difficulty speaking. And he thinks it has to do with embarrassment or shock for some reason. So his question is there a way to get rid of these embarrassment feelings?
Okay.
Yes.
So what I think I'm hearing from Shy is they're potentially experiencing some bouts of social anxiety.
Okay, yes. Right? I'm hearing the same thing. There may be that he is experiencing that.
Correct.
And it can be serious or not.
So let's talk a little bit about what social anxiety is.
Yeah, let's do that.
So social anxiety, most people feel this. It's basically what it says. You feel anxious, you feel concerned, you feel worried in social situations, which may be, if you're here at college, for Shy, it's in the classes, with teachers, with parents, with friends, things like that. So you may have fear in situations of which you may be judged. So the fear of being judged in these, worrying or embarrassing about humiliating yourself, you might have that concern. Intense fear of interacting and talking with strangers. And the fear can even be physical. It doesn't have to be in your mind at all.
Yeah, because he did mention how he would feel numb and then he would turn red. So those are physical experiences.
Sweating, trembling, shaky voice, all these types of things tell you that you're experiencing some level of anxiety.
Right.
The higher intensity, the higher the anxious level, obviously.
Yeah.
And the more debilitating it might be for you physically.
Yeah. And it's not that he's having these anxiety experiences alone. It's when he's in social situations, when he's talking to adults, seems like some people in authority, when he's talking to his classmates. Mm-hmm. Interesting. He may have this this experience talking in front of a class or talking to a professor.
Yeah. And how long this continues, the anxiety is going to come up a lot quicker based off of triggers. What I mean by triggers is if I feel anxiety in a classroom, maybe speaking in front of students, then as I'm walking to the classroom, I feel anxiety. Mm-hmm. The more it happens, as I'm sitting in my office thinking about walking to the classroom, I have anxiety. As it happens more, I'm sitting at home feeling anxiety that I have to go to school and sit in my office. And so as you see, the longer you have anxiety, the more intense it's going to hit you, and a lot earlier it's going to hit you too. It's kind of an anticipation of the event that's going to occur that really brings out that anxiety. So how can we help this person?
Well, I think, first of all, being aware of those triggers and the situations that causes this anxiety, so that way you can mentally prepare yourself before entering into that situation. So, for example, if you know that you're going to have to do a presentation in front of the classroom, because, you know, oftentimes students are asked to do that. Well, you know, be aware that that's when the anxiety happens, and then start planning for it before it happens. And if you need to practice more about what you're going to say and how you're going to present it ahead of time to until you feel comfortable about it, or start working on self-talk, looking at what you can, what you're saying to yourself that might be causing the anxiety, and working on changing those belief systems to something more positive that will help you.
Yeah, and kind of think about when it all began. Is something, does something occur in your life where the when and then the anxiety started? And can we trace it back to that? All this information is good for you to kind of get a sense of what is creating this. And also what we would suggest is to go to therapy, talk to a counselor.
Yes, because you know, you mentioned thinking back as to when this all started, how it happened. And I would find that would be very difficult for anybody to do. And that going to a therapist would actually really help you be able to go back and try to figure that out for yourself.
Yeah. And if you're not sure you want to see a therapist right away, then think back to what's gotten you through this in the past. And use sort of your success stories of dealing with anxiety. And then when you feel like it gets to be too much, go talk to someone. Although we would always say talk to someone immediately when you're starting to feel these.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that, you know, thinking about times where you did well and meditate on that. Think about what you did during those times that you were successful and you didn't feel that anxiety and see how you can recreate that again.
And we have a wonderful wellness center here on campus, Rollins College CAPS. It's free for students. So you could always go there and just talk to someone, see what it feels like to speak with someone.
What could they expect would happen in therapy for social anxiety?
Well, I think the research points to a few things for working. One would be cognitive behavioral therapy, and that's working with your thoughts about yourself. How you act would be the behavioral part of that when you have these thoughts. It's kind of realigning those things, reworking through those. Also, assertiveness training.
Yes.
A lot of times our anxiety is increased when we don't feel good about ourselves in certain situations. So it's sort of conquering and feeling better in those places. Yeah.
And assertiveness training is a aspect of cognitive behavioral therapy. Yep. Absolutely. So we hope that Shia LaBeouf is able to get the help that he needs, because I can't imagine how difficult it is for him to be in that situation where he's feeling numb and turning red and in these social situations. So
it's a very real and tough thing that people experience. And just make sure that you're still connecting with people around you, and maybe talk to somebody about what you're feeling and the anxiety you're feeling that you trust and that you know cares about you and isn't going to tell you just to get over it. Something small. This will snowball into something larger.
Yes. Okay. Well, there you have it for our question from a listener.
Okay. So takeaways from today. I would like to say that don't cheat.
That's your takeaway.
That's my takeaway.
Just don't cheat, people. Even though he gave tips earlier on how to cheat, he's telling you right now, just don't do it. It's not worth it. A lot of paperwork, people.
It is a lot of paperwork. But no, but just don't cheat. I mean, think about, take a step back if you're in those moments and think about why I need to do this right now. And I know it's more difficult if you're drunk or you're on drugs and you have this opportunity in front of you. But just really try to think about who you are as a person, if this is something that you think is part of, you should be a part of your character.
Yeah, I like that. Well, my takeaway is that, hey, just because your partner cheated or you cheated doesn't mean that it's the end of the relationship and that there's something necessarily wrong with the relationship. Okay, it just could be an experience that a person had that was a mistake and that they regret. So don't automatically think that it's over. There is hope for the relationship.
Oh, I love hope.
Yes.
Hope is great.
Yes. So this brings us to the end of our show. Okay, so thank you. Yeah, I know, me too. An hour goes by fairly quickly.
And at the end of the show, me and Sam are locked in separate rooms for a whole week.
Yeah, we don't talk to each other. We don't see each other.
It's kind of great.
Yeah. For me. Yep. So thank you for listening, and join us next time as we cap up this series on the dark side of relationships and talk about how do you know if you're in a bad relationship and what you can do about it.
That sounds fantastic. All right. Well, you know what that means. It's the end of another Freudian Quip episode on WPRK 91.5 Rollins College Radio. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where you can interact with the show. Leave us questions. Now you can be a part of the Doctor's Notes segment, and we'll interact right back with you, as always, in your face. Until next time, I'm Dr. Palladino.
And I'm Dr. Sanabria.
Be mentally healthy, and word to your edible complex.
Listening to
WPRK
91.5 FM.
The best
in basement radio.
WPRK.
Yes, it's